It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Rolling along, hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way is in Oklahoma City getting ready to call a baseball game between Texas and Oklahoma, an elimination game in the Big 12 tournament that scheduled for 12:30, 12:15 pregame. There's an outside chance, Snoop, we might get there. We are monitoring.
Where?
We might get close to start time.
Oh.
There is a... we're monitoring the elimination game being played right now in Oklahoma City between Baylor and Kansas State. Now, I hadn't purposely paid attention to the score until just now because I figured, okay, an hour left of the show. Now we got to figure out what time this game is going to be over. It was going at a very nice pace, Snoop, but we have now hit the, I believe we're still in the seventh inning, and Kansas State has, Cameron Thompson has recorded an RBI single, and the game is tied 3-3. So we're cruising along, nice pace. Baylor had a nice 3-2 lead, and K-State tied it up in the seventh. It is top seven. 2-1, 1-out for K-State in a 3-3 game with Baylor. So we will keep you updated on that game to let you know what time we are going to go to Craig and Roger with the call in Oklahoma City. I don't know how long their show, Snoop. It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. I don't know. You will hear Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey, in some
cool
shape, form, or fashion. Like I said, it could be literally a 5-10 minute show or... You know, maybe they go an hour. I don't know. It just depends on if this Baylor K-State game gets wrapped up in nine innings or maybe they need extras to get it done. But anyway, we have prepared, so we will lead you into Shirts and Skins as we do each and every day here on the Horn. Snoop, I guess I'll go ahead and we got to get to more Steve Sarkisian from yesterday at the Touchdown Club of Houston. We can also talk Texas baseball, whatever you want to talk on the Specs text line. Okay, we've got hope, Snoop. K-State has now taken a 4-3 lead, top seven. So maybe this game does get done.
That's a dirty mustache.
On time.
My God.
Yeah, talking about the Baylor reliever. Yeah. Yeah, that is...
That's overkill, but whatever. I mean, that's the stylish thing to do. It's almost like Daniel Mingden, the former Aggie, now Oakland A, if he's still with the Oakland A's.
That almost looks fake.
Yes.
You know? Like, it's so pristine, it looks fake.
Man. Okay, anyway. Yeah, and nobody else can see what we're talking about.
So against my better judgment, I'm going to read this text from the Specs text line, 337-3776. We got a lot of text, Snoop, ever since we went over the Kelly Clarkson story and Inconceivable that I didn't know until this morning actually existed. So there's the Lamar Jackson incident on Monday Night Football where apparently he went in the locker room for cramps. Then there was the thought that he went in there for bad bathroom and he said,
"Why is it bad?"
He can't. You've gone through that process. No, there's nothing good about that process. There's nothing enjoyable about it. Nothing good happens. At any rate, so Lamar Jackson said in his post-game press conference after that, he said he didn't pull a Paul Pierce. So who knows? I guess we'll have to take Lamar Jackson at his word. But I'll read this text. This is the kind of stuff that happens when Craig isn't here. Texter says, since I went there, had to expect these kind of stories. Texter said they were supervising a road crew cleaning out drains on 183. The crew was shoveling dirt into metal drums. Bad bathroom attacked one of the crew. He shut the back door of the box truck and proceeded to use the open drum of dirt the way Kelly Clarkson did that trash can. Only the minute he dropped down and sat down, He was swarmed by an angry mob of fire ants hiding in the dirt. That sounds...
Sounds like a nightmare.
The sounds that man made still haunt me today. Hand to God, it happened just like that. Boy, that is... Man, if that's not the definition of a double whammy, dude, I don't know what is. You've got to do that in that environment and then have a fire ant incident on top of it. Baylor coming unraveled, and the things coming unraveled for the Bears in the seventh. K-State now up 5-3, so things got a chance to be done on time, Snoop. I like the pace this game is going, and I probably just jinxed it by saying that. But at any rate, Specs text line is open, 337-3776 if you want to chime in. I'm not gonna read your text, but I don't know that my opinion is as strong as it was before I heard that story, but you know, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Go.
This is the point in the show, Snoop, usually where you're playing like poot sound effects.
No, I've changed my ways.
Do you listen to promos now and like hear for that stuff?
But I did like pull out that one little clip, and I think I even emailed it to you. I'm like, this will never be a promo, but it was so funny.
We'll be able to use it as a promo, but it can be a nice drop or something that we can use.
Not a promo. Here it is. No pun intended. Okay, just... If it's too bad, I'll hit the dump button.
Okay.
Hold on here. Okay, it's setting up. What? Come on. Do it.
We're running on Windows XP back there?
Oh, there it is.
Okay. Yeah, that happened, what was that, two Fridays ago, I guess?
I like how we waited so patient. Yeah. And then, you know. It's okay. I said I changed my ways. I'm not going to do that anymore. Anyway, Yeah, bunting. We need to bunt more when we have a guy on first. You know, when we talk about not respecting the game, Augie Garrido, there were two moments in a UT baseball game that we didn't respect the game. One was when a guy got on first. It was the opening. Okay, the guy hit the home run, and then the second guy walks. Was that Antico? Walked. And then, like, we should have bunted him to second, but instead we swung and grounded into a double play, and then that killed that rally. So anyway, we didn't respect the game yesterday.
Yeah, Texas, for whatever it's worth, Texas down after the loss last night, Texas down to number 5 in the RPI. Like I said, the RPI is not the be-all, end-all, but it's a really important tool for the selection committee when they're determining top 8 national seeds and hosting bids and things of that nature. Well, I'll tell you what, the wheels have fallen off for the Bears. It is now a 4-run seventh for K-State. They are now up 6-3.
I thought K-State was bad.
In the seventh. They play better of late. They took 2 or 3 from TCU and did their part to help Texas get a share of the Big 12 championship. And, you know, they just couldn't pull off another win over TCU yesterday, but a game that, you know, Jordan Wicks, I think, took him through the sixth, I think, is when his day was done. And, you know, got a guy who's probably going to be a first-round draft pick, did the best he could. But, yeah, things have completely come undone for Steve Rodriguez and Baylor right now. So K-State looking to move on. Texas is going to be looking to do the same when they take on Oklahoma in a Red River Showdown game coming up here, tentatively scheduled for 12:30. We'll see how close we get to that start time. But here's the bottom line for me, Snoop. Like, it's kind of torn on the way you look at it. Like, on one hand, for Texas, the conference tournament doesn't really matter because they're going to be a top 8 seed. Like, their resume, even if they lose to Oklahoma today, their resume is still going to be that of a team that's definitely worthy of a top 8 seed, if not a seat in the top half of the top 8. Like, that's how good the body of work has been for Texas this year. But on the other hand, David Pierce mentioned this last night in the post game. Like, when you're in a conference tournament, you don't want to be scuffling going into a regional. Like, you don't want to be on a 2-game losing streak and having played some bad baseball or just sloppy baseball like Texas played yesterday. You want to be playing well going into the regional. So, yeah, like, on one hand, it doesn't matter, but on the other hand, it does. Like I said, in the grand scheme of things, when, you know, I guess for a Texas fan, what I'm getting at is, if you're looking for something to take out of this, just hope that no matter what, and I hate to say it like this because winning does matter, but no matter like what the scoreboard says, just as long as this team plays good, clean baseball, that's really all you should be looking for. But if they play good, clean baseball the rest of the tournament, because they're most likely not going to face anybody else's number one starter in their half of the bracket probably the rest of the weekend, they should have a really good chance at winning the tournament. Go with Tristan Stevens going today. Tristan Stevens has been really, really good. You can make the argument that down the stretch, and I don't even think there's much of an argument to be made. I think Tristan Stevens has been a better pitcher than Ty Madden down the stretch. And David Pierce mentioned that last night. Ty Madden's trying to develop the third pitch. He has had the blister issue that popped up a couple of weeks ago. So there's a number of things as to why Ty's been a little off kilter, but he's still going to get the ball to open every meaningful series. He'll get the ball game one of the regional. If they get to the Supers, he'll get the ball game one there. And most likely, if they get to Omaha, he'll get the ball game one in Omaha. But Tristan Stevens has been really, really good down the stretch for Texas. And that's, as you get into tournament play and you get into regional play, that's the thing that separates Texas from other teams, and that's the thing that separates your top-tier teams in college baseball from everybody else. Like, West Virginia got a great outing from Jackson Wolf yesterday. There's no question about that. But there's a reason why West Virginia was 8 out of 9 teams in the conference standings to end the regular season, because the starting pitching tapers off after that, and their bullpen, K-State, quite frankly, K-State, West Virginia might have the worst bullpen in the conference. And their bullpen is not good. They're in that conversation for the worst bullpen in the conference. Texas, on the other hand, you know, with going from Ty Madden to Tristan Stevens to Pete Hansen, that's 3 top-tier starters you're going to face in a row, plus what they've gotten out of the bullpen lately from Cole Quintanilla, from Tanner Witt, Aaron Nixon, who it feels like hasn't pitched in about a month, but you'll see Aaron Nixon maybe today if Texas gets to kind of a closeout/stopper situation in this Oklahoma game. And who knows, David Pierce might just throw him in there just to get him some work, or I don't know, maybe save him for an elimination game on Friday. But Texas has they've got the kind of starting pitching depth, and they've got the kind of back-end bullpen arms that make them really tough to beat over the course of a tournament play, of a regional, of a super regional, and then into Omaha. So, and you know, like a lot of lineups in college baseball, like the vast majority of lineups in college baseball, it can be a struggle when you're facing Friday night pitching, even for a team that's been as good offensively this year as Texas. But as you get deeper into a weekend, like Texas has been tremendous hitting pitching on Sundays, and they've been really good at times hitting pitching on Saturdays. So, that just goes to show you, as you get deeper, if Texas can just take care of their business and play clean baseball, they've proven throughout the year, as you get deeper into a weekend, they are really, really tough to put away because of the depth in their pitching staff and just how good and the kind of adjustments, how good Texas has been at making adjustments at the plate throughout the season. And I think that goes back to, you know, that Troy Tulowitzki factor that we talk about. You can't deny the Tulo factor with this team and how important he's been for a lot of the guys. Snoop, are we going to check in with Craig this hour, or is that on tap? Or
let me do the sneak one. Hold on. Let's see. Wait. Hold on.
All I hear is ambient noise and somebody talking in the background.
Craig might be there, like, sitting and listening. I don't know. Well, I'll check in.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We're going to see if we can get connected with Craig. Again, we were supposed to visit with Texas softball coach Mike White in the first hour. That did not happen. But at any point in the show, if Coach White calls in, we will definitely stop what we're doing and get the Texas softball head coach on with us. Texas getting ready for a super regional this weekend, heading up to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State, the first game in that super regional coming up tomorrow, 4:00, and that is on ESPN2. So we're getting to the time of year, Snoop, where softball getting more prominent run across the various platforms of the four letter network. So good for Texas. Catch them on ESPN2 tomorrow, 4:00, in that Stillwater super regional. You look like you had something to say.
No. I went to a watering hole the other night, and they had on softball. It was like Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? But it was lit, you know, whatever. Shout out to the ladies.
Dynamite drop in there, Snoop. Let's go ahead and get back to talking some. That's a 3-run shot in the K-State Baylor game. It is now 9-3 K-State. Top 7. So pretty much, if you want the game to start on time, Texas fans, you just need to hope that Baylor can get some outs and this one can wrap up pretty quickly. Of course, you could have the other situation happen, which, you know, in the conference tournament play, Snoop, we are under run rule circumstances. So, K-State, if they can keep hot this inning, maybe, heck, maybe they just, well, I guess Baylor would have to bat in the bottom half. But,
yeah,
they could get pretty close to wrapping this thing up.
And Craig said in between each game, it has to be 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
In between each game. So, yeah, we're going to be pushing it. I'm sure there's going to be more than a 15-minute shirts and skin show.
Yeah, so, but Chad and Trey will be in here however long, I should say, they need to be in here. Let's talk a little Texas football. We'll do this in the notebook coming up in the next segment, but get back to Steve Sarkisian and his talk yesterday at the Touchdown Club of Houston. Their luncheon yesterday, he gave a little sneak peek into the program. And we'll save the quarterback talk because that's kind of what everybody wants to talk about. We'll talk quarterback in the next segment. But let's talk leaders. You know, we had this conversation this week on Longhorn Blitz, which, by the way, anywhere you get your podcasts, just search Horns 24/7 Podcast. Click the subscribe button to get every episode of the flagship State of Recruiting and Longhorn Blitz, which drops every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Recording schedule probably going to be a little different next week because of the Memorial Day holiday, but we'll figure all that out and let you know. And leave us a 5-star review as well. We would very much appreciate it, myself, Matt Butler, and Rod Babers. But one thing we talked about on the Blitz this week was leadership. And, you know, you've got these seasons in Texas football, going from 18 to 19 was one of them. You think about the leadership lost off of the 18 team going into the 19 season, where you had Charles Omenihu, Chris Boyd, and Andrew Beck. Even Calvin Anderson became a leader in his 1 year on the 40 acres. You had guys that had pretty prominent voices that moved on to the National Football League, that creating another wave of leaders that needed to step up. And that next wave was featuring Sam Ellinger included in that mix, Joseph Osai included in that mix. And you go back to the 19th season, Malcolm Roach, Zach Shackelford, those guys are all gone right now. So it's time for a new group of leaders to take their rightful places at the table and step up and be leaders for this team. And the Sark mentioned the following guys when he was asked about straight up who are the leaders on your team. He mentioned Derek Kerstetter, Roshan Johnson, Bijan Robinson, Cade Brewer, Keandre Coburn, Ray Thornton, Josh Thompson, and Jaron Thompson. Now, there are some guys mentioned in that group. You know, Kerstetter, Brewer, Josh Thompson, those guys have been around for quite a while now. In fact, like Josh Thompson was a guy that was recruited by Charlie Strong. Like, that's how long Josh Thompson has been around and been a part of the program. But you've got guys that, you know, the Cade Brewer coming back for his fifth year, Kerstetter coming back for all those guys are coming back for an additional year. And then you've got, you know, Roshan Johnson has been around for a little bit. Keandre Coburn's been around for a little bit. And then you go to Bijan Robinson and Jaron Thompson, guys that were true freshmen last year that are already, they've already kind of taken that mantle and they're comfortable being in leadership roles. And Jaron Thompson's a guy, whether it was Caden Stearns, any of the outgoing guys that have left the program last year and went on to the NFL, Caden Stearns was one I know that mentioned, like, Jaron Thompson is kind of next in line to be, you know, that next kind of NFL-type defensive back, an NFL-caliber defensive back coming out of the Texas program. So it's an interesting mix right now. When Sark's talking about the leadership core on this team, it really is an interesting mix. You got everything from fifth-year seniors to guys coming off of a true freshman season. And, you know, the game, Snoop, where they're really going to need that leadership to show up. And I thought it was interesting, too, Sark yesterday in his Q&A with the fans and with the boosters that were there yesterday, in his Q&A with them, he talked about the early season schedule. Very complimentary of Louisiana and the program that Billy Napier is running with the Raging Cajuns. Obviously, we saw what they did last year, opening up the season in Ames, knocking off an Iowa State team that played for a Big 12 championship and ended up winning the Fiesta Bowl over Oregon. Louisiana beat Iowa State, and quite frankly, if you go back and watch that game, they kind of made Matt Campbell wave the white flag. Like, they just ran the clock out and just pounded the ball down Iowa State's throat late. So that's a program and a team Steve Sarkisian and this Texas program have a ton of respect for. And then he mentioned the Arkansas game. And he said, and of course, everybody knows how important that game is. And I'm paraphrasing here. He said, especially on that side. Especially if, like, it's impossible, Snoop. Like, unless you've been in the state of Arkansas or you've got family members who are Arkansas fans, it's almost impossible to describe. Like, I'm 37, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around exactly what the Texas-Arkansas series means, because I was in the first or second grade when Arkansas had their last year in the Southwest Conference before they left to the SEC and stopped playing each other on an annual basis. So even for me, it's like...
Is Matt Jones there?
No, this was way before Matt Jones. it's kind of like Bernie Mac talking about his sister's kids. Like, I know it, but I don't know it. I know Texas Arkansas. I know the Texas Arkansas rivalry. I know the history, but I don't really know it. I get a little bit of taste of it. So my wife's got family in Arkansas, so we go up there to visit. And if I'm wearing any kind of Texas gear, like the looks I get, it's almost like somebody forgot to tell Arkansas fans that they don't play each other annually anymore, or they're not in the same conference anymore, or that the Southwest Conference doesn't exist. The vitriol toward Texas in the state of Arkansas still very much exists. And I say all that to say this: it is impossible to describe that to somebody 18 to 22 years old who's on this football team right now. And you throw that into the equation on top of the fact that, Snoop, when they go to Fayetteville on September 11th, it's going to be a 100% capacity crowd. It's going to be an overflow crowd. They're going to be tailgating. Arkansas fans are going to want to cut loose because they couldn't last year, and I agree with something that Rod said. It's just going to be one big party whenever everybody kind of starts having these large social gatherings in this kind of post-COVID, post-shutdown world we're slowly shifting back into.
It's just bunch of cousin lovers.
It's just going to be one big party. So you've got that aspect of it. You throw in the fact that they're hosting Texas. A guy like Bijan Robinson, as talented as he is and as much of a leader as he has never experienced anything remotely close to what he's going to experience from a crowd standpoint in Fayetteville on September 11th. There's going to be a decent chunk of this roster that's never experienced anything like that. Pretty much unless you're a guy on this roster that's played in a full capacity Texas OU game, I don't think there's anything that's going to be able to prepare you for what you're going to experience in Fayetteville. So when Sark is talking about the tough early season schedule, and when he's talking about the leaders on this team, the guys like Derek Kerstetter and Cade Brewer and Keandre Coburn, Josh Thompson, those older guys he mentioned that have been through the battles, if Texas ends up through those first two games with a 2-0 record, that group right there is going to be the group responsible for getting Texas over that hump and allowing them, helping them deal with everything they're going to deal with when they get to Fayetteville and play that game, game number two on the schedule. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll keep the Texas football conversation going. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. We'll take your questions and keep talking. Steve Sarkisian and his presentation, if you will, and his media availability as well yesterday from the event hosted by the Touchdown Club of Houston. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Follow Texas.
Summer's coming fast. Make sure your dog is a spot at Camp Bow Wow.
Light the Tower.
Yeah, this right here goes out to all the babies, mamas. Mamas, baby mamas. Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter.
Rolling along on a Thursday. Light the Tower on the Horn. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way in Oklahoma City. Getting ready to call a baseball game, an elimination game in the Big 12 tournament between Texas and Oklahoma. That game scheduled for a 12:30 start in 1 hour. That would mean pregame in 45 minutes. But Baylor and K-State still playing. So, yeah, Snoop, that game is not going to start on
time. That's the only thing I hate about baseball and softball is just like – You just never know if the game is going to take 10 hours. It's going to take an hour. Just never know.
It is 9-4, Kansas State, top of the 8. So as soon as that game ends, you've got 45 minutes until first pitch for Texas and Oklahoma, and 15 minutes before that. So 30 minutes after the conclusion of the K-State Baylor game, we'll get you over to Craig and Roger pregame for today's game in Oklahoma City for the Longhorns. So, hey, real quick, Snoop, I think this is worth mentioning. I saw a lot of people complaining yesterday, both on Twitter and on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7. Said, hey, the streams, I can't hear the game on the horn. All I'm hearing is a national broadcast. Okay, that's because we can't stream the game directly over the horn app. So when you go to the horn app, which I think we've been over this, but it doesn't hurt to do it again. So first off, you got to make sure you pause the Twitch stream that's playing or just stop the Twitch stream. When you go to your app, you'll see at the top, I've got my phone pulled up, you'll see listen to the Longhorns here, and there's a big Longhorns logo there. If you click that, that takes you to the official media player, and as you can see right now if you're watching on Twitch, you've got the countdown clock going on until the baseball broadcast starts. So just a few prompts on the app or at hornfm.com, and you can hear the game. But no, we cannot stream it directly over our airwaves. But if you're on the dial, you can get it all the numerous channels you got, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And then obviously you can stream it, just again, not directly through the Horn app. Got to click a couple buttons, but it's pretty easy to follow. If I can figure it out, anybody should be able to figure out. Snoop, let's go ahead and go to the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
So a couple things, and then we'll continue to talk about Steve Sarkisian and his everything that he had to say from the Touchdown Club of Houston yesterday. We'll keep that conversation going tomorrow, and there's plenty of meat on the bone there, so it's not like something that we're going to have to, that we'll run out of stuff to talk about. We'll be able to do that in next week once we get back from the Memorial Day holiday. Snoop, I know we've got tomorrow's show, but what do you got any big plans for Memorial Day weekend?
I'm covering a lot of baseball. Look, the playoffs are, matter of fact, last night I went to San Antonio. I watched Rouse take game one of a three-game series against Gregory Portland. They're back at Northeast ISD. That's a beautiful facility, by the way. It's a beautiful baseball field. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, baseball and chilling. There's no state qualifiers this weekend, I think probably because it's a holiday weekend, so there's none. So.
Well, what Steve Sarkisian's got to spend his Memorial Day doing is getting ready for June 1st when recruiting opens back up, and he talked about that a lot yesterday. Again, just the effort that the staff is going to have to put in the month of June once they're able to host recruits on campus again. They've got those massive visit weekends. And when you talk about the 2022 recruiting cycle, kind of the big storyline has become the Jaden Blue situation. The Klein Kane running back, he's announced publicly that he is opting out of his senior year of high school. And Sark was asked about this yesterday, and 24/7 Sports, our national desk, did a story out of it, so we could get something up pretty quick, and that's up at Horns 24/7 if you need to go find it. But I thought this take on it from Sark was interesting. He said, I don't think this is a one-off, and he went on to say, it's a relatively big issue we've got to wrap our heads around. If you listen to the entirety of his response, and again, I'm not going to run it down because I just don't want to sit here and read off the quote, so that comes off as laziness, I apologize, but I'd rather just paraphrase it here. If you look at the entirety of his response, I thought Sark did a really good job of kind of walking the line he needed to walk. Because it's when you're the head coach at Texas and you're dealing with a situation like this, it's really delicate on two fronts. One, you've got that massive, powerful body that is the Texas High School Coaches Association and high school football coaches in this state. It's a very powerful group. It's a very tight-knit group. And if you get on the wrong side of a certain cluster of coaches, that thing can spread and that can create some problems for you within the state, especially from a perception standpoint. On the other hand, you've got a guy in Jaden Blue who is at 24/7 Sports, we've got him ranked right now as the number one running back prospect in the country for the class of 2022. So you're the new head coach at the flagship school in the state of Texas, and you're trying to get along with the high school coaches in this state. And Sark has made all the right steps with that group so far. He's done everything he's needed to do. He wanted to get out and see that group shortly after he took the job. So everything he's done from that standpoint has been the right moves. At the same time, he's got to build a roster. And to build a championship caliber roster, you've got to get guys that are talented enough to take you to that next level. And Jaden Blue is certainly one of those guys. So it's not that Sark is incapable of taking a hardline stance on this, but this is a topic where he doesn't need to take that kind of stance right now. I think similar to what he said about name, image, and likeness. He talked about NIL and said, quite frankly, he needs to do a little more work on it and get a little more of the parameters set for him before they go, you know, making all these public declarations about what Texas can and can't do. Just need to do a little bit more work on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. I think that kind of goes for people in general, Snoop. I think one thing that we don't do enough, and I've been guilty of it too, sometimes I don't know is an acceptable answer. And I think in this case, Sark saying, hey, I need more time to look at NIL, or the Jaden Blue situation saying, hey, basically saying it's a pretty delicate issue and, you know, there's a lot of different viewpoints to look at and you really got to wrap your head around it. Because I agree with him that this isn't the last we've seen of this. I don't think this is going to become, I hate to use terms like this now, especially since we're coming out of a pandemic, but I don't expect this to become some kind of epidemic where high school players, you know, guys that are big-time recruits are just opting out of their senior seasons in waves. I don't think it's going to be a situation like that. But, you know, I do think this can happen here or there depending on the circumstances. And when we had Mike Roach on Monday, and Mike does a great job covering recruiting for us as the recruiting editor at Horns 24/7, it is a delicate issue. Mike's gotten into it a little bit on the site. But this is a deal where at the end of the day, the Texas staff has to do what's best for them and what's best for the program. And they've decided what's best for the program is to go ahead and keep Jaden Blue as a part of the 2022 recruiting class. And everything we've heard to this point, they have no intention of, you know, pulling his scholarship or, you know, saying anything along the lines of that commitment is no longer valid. He's still a part of the class. But I just kind of like, you know, I kind of like the way Sark handled both those questions. The Jaden Blue situation. And again, he couldn't mention Jaden Blue by name because NCAA rules prohibit him from publicly mentioning a prospective student athlete that hasn't signed with the school yet. But the Jaden Blue situation, the name, image, and likeness thing, basically saying, hey, just need a little bit more time instead of taking a stance and backing that would back himself into a corner, one way or the other, where he ends up angering or displeasuring a party that he doesn't necessarily need to. So I did think that was pretty interesting as far as how Sark handled both of those questions. You know, we talked about the schedule. He did mention, a lot of respect for Billy Napier and that Louisiana program. He mentioned the Arkansas game. And we'll go ahead and end, kind of wrap up today's conversation on the Sark front, talking about the quarterback position. And he did say, you know, he feels he's got two good players in Hudson Card and Casey Thompson. And, he kind of hinted at this, but yesterday was the first time I'd heard him come out and say something like this. As far as the quarterback competition coming out of the spring, he said, quote, I didn't feel like 15 practices was enough to say, you're the starter, you're the backup. So he doesn't feel he's had enough. There's been enough data points. There's enough of a body of work for either guy to name a starter. And that's fine. I sat when spring practice started, I sat here on this show. I said it on the Longhorn Blitz podcast. I wrote it at Horns 24/7. The best case scenario for the quarterback battle coming out of the spring was that Sark had a legitimate, valid reason to keep that thing going during the summer. Because the worst thing that could have happened was for one of those guys to feel like they weren't getting a fair shake at that point and enter the transfer portal, and then you just have to go with the guy who's left. That's not a situation anybody wants to be in, especially when you're a first-year head coach trying to replace a guy from the previous regime that was a four-year starter in Sam Ellinger and whose name is splattered all over the record books at the University of Texas. So I think from that standpoint, the quarterback battle has played out about as much of a best case scenario as it possibly could, from the standpoint that Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, they're both still around. They're both very much intent on trying to win the job. They both feel they're alive and have a chance to go win the job, and they're going to compete as such this summer and going into camp. And it's a situation where, based on how scrimmages work out, how live reps and practice work out, I think everybody, myself included, would like Sark to have a starter named by the time you got to the Monday of the Louisiana game, but he doesn't necessarily even have to do that. And Snoop, to me, like the nature of the opponent, because you're playing a Louisiana team that's clearly got some talent, that's shown before they can go on the road and beat a Big 12 school to open a season. If I'm Sark, if you're not ready to make the call or you just don't want to, there's no fault in presenting as much mystery as you possibly can and keep everybody guessing on the outside as to who you're going to start leading up to the game. If that first depth chart that Monday of the Louisiana game comes out and there's an or next to both quarterbacks, now maybe at that time, you know, whether it's behind the scenes reports or whatever, maybe he has made a decision, maybe everything I just said is moot and irrelevant. But if it's a legitimately close battle, then yeah, keep that thing shrouded in mystery as much as you possibly can until you feel like you've got to make a decision. I happen to think, though, Snoop, at the end of the day, at some point, I think you've got to go with the guy. You've got to go with the guy that, because you've got to give, I think everybody on that team needs to know at some point, okay, who's the guy we're rallying around? Who's our starting quarterback? Let's go ahead and get behind this guy and get ready to go win a football game. And maybe Sark can do that behind the scenes and still have kind of that, just that uncertain element out there depending on whatever the depth chart says. But I've, you know, I got a feeling at that point, whether, like I said, whether it's behind the scenes reports or whatever, I think if Sark knows, if guys on the team know, then it's not going to be that much longer before the general public knows. But at any rate, it's the quarterback battle, in my opinion, has gone as well as it possibly could. Sark is in no hurry to make a decision. And at this point, as we sit here on May 27th, he shouldn't be in a hurry to make a decision. It is May 27th, and I know I'm going to borrow a bit here. But as we come back after the break and we close out this show, Chad and Trey have the bit of why this day matters. I'll tell you why May 27th matters to me. We'll do that when we come back after the break and close out another edition of Light the Tower on the Horn.
Bucky and Aaron.
I found all my... No, this is not the start of the triple option.
My God, I just... Oh, my God. That freaked me out.
Yeah.
Oh, that freaked me out. I didn't... Oh, my God. I didn't even realize this at the beginning of their show. That's why I had to cut it. I was like, "What? That felt weird." Sorry.
Yeah.
Andre 3000, happy birthday. Oh man, that made me feel weird. It made my hands sweat.
Yeah.
I was like, "Hold on, what? Hold on, this is another show intro."
And BK is gonna have a bone to pick with you.
Sorry,
I might submit that for Fudge Up Friday. Just because.
Yeah, I'm not set tripping y'all. I wasn't trying to like, you know, like bite y'all style. For real, but anyway, that's a good song though.
It's a good jam, as most Outkast jams are. So here's your baseball update as we get ready to close out today's show. Baylor, Kansas State, top nine, K-State batting with one out, one on, 9-4 lead for the Wildcats. So Snoop, I'm reasonably confident this game's going to get started before 1 o'clock, maybe like a 12:45, 12:50 first pitch, depending on how this game ends up, and as soon as it's done, 45 minutes after is when the Texas-Oklahoma game starts. 30 minutes after the end of this game is when we get you to Oklahoma City to Craig and Roger.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I watched Westlake baseball, which has a ton of D1 players on it, Oregon State, Texas, etc., have a 7-0 lead going into the final inning, and then have it tied up and then to lose in extras.
We got a Baylor pitching change right now. So, and just to kind of put it into perspective and put a bow on the Texas baseball conversation for today. Again, we'll keep the Texas football conversation going tomorrow with more stuff from Steve Sarkisian in his day yesterday at the Touchdown Club of Houston. In their event down there that I was at.
Where was that? Like the building?
Bayou City Event Center. So it's kind of Astrodome NRG area, okay. Kind of that part of Houston right off 610. So I think it's like two exits down for the Kirby exit, I think, is the NRG exit. So it was like two exits down. So one quick – we'll keep the Texas football conversation going tomorrow. But to wrap up the Texas baseball conversation for today – I mentioned, you know, you want to be, like David Pierce said last night in the postgame, you want to be playing well going into a regional, but in the grand scheme of things, the Big 12 tournament doesn't matter for Texas as far as top eight seeding goes. As a perfect example of that, D1Baseball.com just released their latest regional projections after last night's action. Kendall Rogers and the boys still have Texas projected as the number three overall seed in the tournament. So that's good news for Texas fans out there looking for Texas to get the right to host a regional and a super regional if they keep winning. A lot of questions on if I'm going to the Arkansas game. I'm planning on being in Fayetteville on September 11th. That's the plan. As we know, man, plans can change. Things can happen. But as of right now, I plan on being in Fayetteville. All right, so let me I want to end the show by saying, you know, why May 27th is a big deal for me. Snoop, I've talked about this before on air. You know, I lost my dad back in 2013, so it's been a little over 8 years now. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But, you know, there's certain dates that when somebody passes and somebody close to you passes, there's certain days you remember. Do you remember the death day? Do you remember, you know, an anniversary or, you know, whatever? The day I like to remember my dad is his birthday. And his birthday is May 27th. It's today. He would have been 62 today. And, you know, I love doing this show with you and Craig. It's a fun 2 hours. It makes the rest of my day and sometimes in turn the rest of my week and the rest of my month a little hectic. But I love the 2 hours that I can come sit down and talk shop with you guys. And, you know, we get off topic on the text line or the text line feedback. I know we get off topic and, man, we'll talk toilet humor. We'll talk, you know, we'll talk sports cards. We'll talk music. We'll talk movies. We'll talk a lot of different things. But, you know, and I talked to Chad Hastings about this, and Chad gave me some good perspective on this. We do the show, Snoop, that we can do. Like, we're not trying to do somebody else's format. When we talk about this is the show we do. And honestly, man, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this show. I could do this show with you guys for another 5 to 10 years. They could tell me tomorrow, hey, turn in your key card, you're not allowed in the building anymore. I don't know.
It's radio.
But as long as I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way. And one of the reasons why I'm still a firm believer in doing it my way and doing it the way I want to do a show, you know, when my dad was diagnosed with cancer in 2011, I was over at the other place doing some stuff. I was doing post-game with Bucky and some weekly stuff. I had a recruiting show at the time. And, you know, my mom would tell me that even as sick as my dad was at times, his favorite times were when I was on air. And he could just sit back and listen and kind of forget about everything for a little bit. And that's why, you know, I'm going to kind of ramble here, so I'm just apologizing right now for rambling. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Yellowstone, Snoop. But there's a scene, the season 2 finale, there's a scene that opens the show, and it is one about the most emotional 4.5 minutes I've ever had watching a TV show, because it's Kevin Costner and the John Dutton character. His dad is sick, he's dying, and he takes him basically on like a final ride through the ranch. And one of the lines Kevin Costner says to his dad, he says, "I'm going to miss you, Dad." And he says, "No," he says, "you're not going to miss me. You're going to miss the person I used to be." That's why I don't think about the death anniversary. Because that stuff is even 8 years removed, it's still hard to think about. So I think about his birthday. And this is his favorite song. It's a corny song. It's Johnny Horton, The Battle of New Orleans, but this is my dad's favorite song. And it's days like today when I can think about the good stuff. I think about the good memories. And it kind of helps repress the bad stuff. And I guess if I want to leave everybody with a message for this show, just make sure you tell your people you love them and enjoy the time you've got with them. And if you're in the middle of losing somebody or you just lost somebody, trust me, that pain, that hurt never goes away. But as time goes on, you tend to remember more of the good stuff. And that's just a reminder on days like my dad's birthday. It's why I do the show the way I do and why I have so much fun doing it. Come back. We'll have some fun tomorrow on a Friday as Johnny Horton plays us off. Shirts and Skins up next, getting you ready for Texas baseball. This is Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down.
down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind.